Today's show is brought to you by Vinyl Me Please. Join the Record of the Month Club at joinvmp.com/songspodcast. Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do want to give you a friendly reminder that each and every episode comes with a unique playlist via Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to songspodcast.com or scroll down to the description of this episode and click on a link to the playlist, Apple Music, Spotify. They are there for you to experience the songs that we talk about on each and every episode. Thank you so much, and let's get right to it. What's going on, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. Hope you guys are having an amazing weekend, or I hope you had an amazing weekend, because I forget when we record this, it's the weekend, but when you hear this, it's Monday. So we hope you had a great weekend. Welcome to another edition. I am your host, Glenn Rodriguez, and always with me is Sean Hebert. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. I had a good week at work. A little tired this morning, but snapped out of it. It was my dog's birthday. Benny turned four today.
Benny turned four. Wow.
Yeah. He's
my little friend. I can't wait to see him again.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He was awesome. We have a lot to talk about today, but we are going to be doing something different. Usually the themes are kind of easy to kind of put together, but this week, since the lineups for Warped Tour 25th anniversary came out and they're playing three shows across the country, we thought we would celebrate, and our list are going to reflect the bands that are going to be playing at the Warped 25 three show extravaganza, whatever you want to call them, which is really cool that they've been along, you know, around this long. And I think they should have waited a year to do their final tour and have this be the final tour, but I see why they did it, and yeah, logistically and all that. But this is going to be a fun episode. This is kind of like Skate Punk Part 2.
Actually, you know what? Not even for me. I mean, you know what's on my list. You probably looked at the lineups and just picked out the five bands immediately that I was going to pick.
I think if you've listened
to the show for long enough, or B, actually know me, you know what I'm gonna pick.
I know two off the top of my head, but we'll save that for later. Before we get going, I do want to say you can leave us a review, a 5-star review. Let us know how much you love the show on Apple Music, wherever you listen to our show, and there's a rating system, Podchaser, all those things. Leave us a review. It would help us a lot. It will get us up in the rankings so more people can enjoy the show. Take care of the rest of the paperwork down the line, because this is an exciting episode. I'm really excited about it. But before we get into the Warped stuff, let's talk about just one piece of news that I wanted to bring up, because it's really interesting. The headline is from NBC News: streaming services push record music business to highest revenue in a decade. Paid music subscription was not the only category to see a boost. Vinyl record sales were up 8% in 2018 too. We talked about that at the beginning of the year, which is awesome all in its own right. So
yes,
you were like, right before we went on and we hit the record button, you were talking about how the music industry likes to complain about streaming, but like, it's helped so much.
I think the exact verbiage I used was bitch about it. But yes, I think it's just funny that the music industry bitches about streaming, but then an article like this comes out and it basically proves that streaming is helping the industry. It's one of those things that, okay, so like something new comes along and the industry's really scared about it, and then it becomes the new standard and they just have to adapt and learn how to make that the new business model.
Yeah.
It happened when the VCR came out. It happens every time media forms change. And I mean, they were just scared that physical media is going away, but it's really not, because if you read more in the article, we'll link it down below. I mean, vinyls were a big part of the boost too.
Yeah, up 8%, man. It's crazy. And you're always going to sell physical copies. If the album is good or the single is good or whatever, you're going to buy a copy of it no matter what it is, you know.
100%.
And I still buy music. I can't wait to get back into it because it's been a bit. I'm just really excited about the future of, like, you know, how we can access music. And I'm so glad that we have things like streaming. I mean, there's really cool exclusives on streaming. Like Spotify has its own, you know, exclusive, like sessions and playlists and things like that. Apple Music, Deezer, Tidal, all those streaming services have their own special little, like, exclusive content that they put out, and then it's really cool. And then with the addition of podcasts, I mean, it's no wonder why streaming is going up, you know, because you can get everything in one little app, your music, your podcast, music videos even.
Right. So, and you don't have to buy another device to hold all your music. Like, you had to, like, I don't know, for a while I had an iPod that I just left in my car.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And even with something like that, like, you download your, when we had to, like, just download music from iTunes or, you know,
right,
you'd have to
update your iPod every, like, week, you know what, yeah, I mean, just to keep up with your music library.
Yeah, so it's just really cool that, you know, the music business is still striving, still doing its, you know, its best. And there was another little thing too that I saw on I forget what website it was, but metal music is the most popular genre on Spotify.
Really?
Yeah, it beat out pop music pretty good. Well, I feel like that's funny to me because I've been told rock music's dead and it's nowhere to be found.
Can I venture a guess as to why?
Because,
okay, so this is just a theory of mine, but if you look at the trend of kids learning how to play guitar, okay, so, like, metal music has gotten increasingly technical, like technical metal music and technical fusion and stuff like that has gotten more mainstream in recent years with the advent of, like, djent and progressive music, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of kid guitar players are starting to get really, really nasty at music, and I think that a lot of kids are gravitating towards metal because it is more technical guitar instrumental driven music most of the time, as compared to pop where you have to struggle in the mix to hear the guitar. So, and I think that might be why that genre is maybe dominating.
And I found this article on Noisy, which is the music blog part of Vice. And there was, like, a little graph. The metal is popular, and then pop, folk, country, rock, hip hop, reggae, jazz, EDM, classical, and blues. And not to mention, I feel like metal music is a lot more popular because they tour a lot more.
They fucking work their balls off touring. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What else were you gonna say?
No, that's it. I was gonna say, like, they tour. I feel like that's another reason why they're popular, because they're more accessible to fans than pop artists, where I feel like pop artists release singles more than they release actual records. Like, yes. It's like, all right, I can make this poppy song in 10 minutes, put it out, people are going to love it and buy it.
Well, it's not even really that much anymore. There's so many cooks in the kitchen with stuff like that now. Like, yeah, you have the person that wrote the song and then sold it, you know, and then the artist liked it and they wanted to do something over it. So somebody wrote lyrics for them, and it's just insane, you know, what it goes through. And sometimes beats that you hear in pop songs were bought years ago and not used yet.
Yeah.
Artists sit on that shit all the time. But I just want to say that, like, I think that there's a lot of YouTube has a lot to do with it too, I think, with the whole guitar players and guitar driven music being more mainstream now, with bands like Polyphia kind of trying to blur the line between pop, hip hop, and shred guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, shred wave music like McLaughlin and Hutch and things like that, it's being more popularized. And there's certain guitar guitar YouTube personalities that are extremely popular on the internet. You know what I mean? They have very successful YouTube accounts with like millions of subscribers. Like Jared Dines, for example.
Yep. Yeah, I was just about to say him.
You know, he's extremely popular on YouTube and he does like comedy stuff. But it's very, like, if you don't play guitar or an instrument, you don't get a lot of the jokes.
Yeah, yeah. And one of my favorite metal rock channels on YouTube is Rockfeed. They always put out some good news about bands. Like, well, there's some bands I care less about any news about Five Finger Death Punch, but like, they do a lot of like they had news about Slipknot the other day. Like, they're going on tour with Behemoth and forget who the other band is, and they put out a website where you put in your location, and it'll tell you coordinates of where they're going to be playing in the summer. And they're gonna, I think the tour dates come out tomorrow or Tuesday. So it's cool that I found out through there. So yeah, metal music is popular, and rock music in general, I still think, is just as popular as pop or more because of the outreach. And I feel like also, and this is a funny thing to me because I think it's true, it's like these pop musicians or like people that are associated with pop music will wear like Guns N' Roses t-shirts or like Iron Maiden t-shirts just as a fashion thing, to where people will look at that. That's a cool shirt. Is that a band? And they'll look it up and they'll discover their music. And sometimes I love it. So right. I feel like that helps too. Like, they're like actively helping people discover music without them like knowing it. I think it's funny to me. So,
well, also in the metal and, you know, hardcore and more underground scenes like that, a lot of the times the artists are putting out the records themselves or in a very independent way, and they don't have like Spotify and streaming is one of the only ways other than like Bandcamp that they have to put their music out.
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, like heavy music, like that's the only way you're going to hear that record, you know,
mm-hmm.
like very, very small bands, like to get one of their CDs, they've pressed so few of them that they probably sell out or, you know,
yeah,
other situations where they don't even have them.
And I think like with metal music too, it's good to work out too. And like workout culture now is like huge. And there's a lot of people I see that always have metal playing on their playlist. So it's metal music is not dead, folks. Don't let anyone tell you that. Don't let Maroon 5, Adam Levine tell you that it's dead and everything's happening in hip hop and everything. Well, it's he's phony. So if you like Maroon 5, that's cool. I like Songs About Jane. That album's fun to me. I like it. But other than that, that thing rubbed me the wrong way. I get what he was trying to
cool
say.
It was cool to see Bleeding Through play the halftime show.
So year. Amazing. So yeah, amazing.
They did. They crushed it.
Who would have thought a Trustkill Records band will play the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, let's get into some of the Warped 25 talk before we do our playlist. We'll take a break after we talk about the festival as a whole and talk about festival stuff. And so if you've been living under a rock, and I know that's kind of weird to say because it's kind of like...
We say it a lot.
I do, I know you do too. And we like... It kind of sounds like we're making fun of people, but it's not, I swear.
It's a promoted post that like if you listen to music or look up concerts at all, it's probably in your feed because it's such a widely promoted post.
Yeah. So they released the lineups and the dates and the cities where Warped Tour 25 is going to be playing, or just Warped 25 years because it's not a tour, it's only 3 dates. So the first looks like they're going to do June 8th, Saturday, which is the grand opening. It's a little party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. Then June 29th and 30th, they'll be playing on the beach in Atlantic City. And then July 20th and 21st, Mountain View, California at the Shoreline Amphitheater. We'll have another 2 dates. And there's bands that differ from each lineup. And there's a lot of the same bands, which is cool. A lot of bands that I didn't think we would see on Warped Tour, like 311. Like, because I know 311 probably played one of the original Warped Tour dates.
Yeah, back their OG in the day. Warped Tour.
So we got bands like A Day to Remember, Andrew WK, Bad Religion, Big D and the Kids Table, which is a huge staple for Warped. Save of Ferris, which is an awesome ska band that is like definitely warped. You have the Menzingers, Wage War, Thrice, Taking Back Sunday, and Glassjaw and Circus Survive and August. Like, there's so many good bands, like, and, yeah, and bands that haven't been on the Warped Tour in years. Like, yeah, the fact that Atlantic City got 311 is pretty damn cool.
The fact that Atlantic City got the Warped Tour to go to the beach is pretty awesome. I want to go, but at the same time, we also want to discuss our own personal feelings about festivals and why and why not to go to them.
Yeah, I think we talked about this once prior because we were talking about the Warped Tour ending last year, and
right,
which is kind of funny. We come full circle now. So I think we both agree that festivals are expensive for a couple of different reasons. Like, the tickets aren't too bad, but like, to buy a cup of water for $8 is ridiculous.
Especially because it's always on a really hot day, because it's always in the summertime when the weather has to be decent. And it's usually in like a parking lot or something where there's blacktop, so that just makes it even worse for the sun. And then you're going to charge people out the ass for water, which is like a human necessity.
Yeah.
Like, it was so bad when I was at Bamboozle. It was so hot that day that they had rain tents set up, which was just like a pop-up canopy tent with hoses secured to all the support structures with holes poked in them. And they would just run the water through it, and it would squirt water down. And yeah, it was so bad that I saw one of the metal bands that had opened the show there hanging out, like, with their cups underneath the hole in the hose to get water to
drink. That's crazy.
For free, yeah. It was insane.
You would think a band that played would have access to free water, but no.
Yeah, the band's name was Ultrageist. If anybody has ever heard of them, they opened the show at Bamboozle when I went, and I saw them getting free water because it was probably expensive as shit, even for the bands.
That's crazy.
Yep.
I've had an instance like that at Ozfest 2005. Great show, but I didn't want to pay like $7 for a solo cup, a clear solo cup of water. So I'm like walking around, like I'm trying not to do it, and like my like sweat was turning into like, I don't know, sand. It felt like dry. My skin was like really dry.
Yeah.
And like, I was so severely dehydrated that I had to bite the bullet. And then I discovered they had one of those rain tents. So I like hopped in, you know, drank my water that I bought, and then filled my cup up too. And like, I felt better. I think the good thing about Warped Tour in Atlantic City is it's on a beach. And the air is going to be a little bit lighter, and like the breeze will probably be nice. It probably won't be too bad. And it's June too. I don't think
I'm interested to see. Sorry to cut you off, but
it's cool
because it's on the beach. I'm interested to see how they're going to control people just running into the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. That should be that's something that I'd like to see. And like, because when they had concerts on the beach in Wildwood, where Sean and I grew up, I think the stage was kind of like you walk onto the beach and then the ocean, like the stage was like right near the water or like kind of close to it. So
okay, so that's like the no man's land area.
Yeah, so you couldn't run into the water without passing the stage
or like the security or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they probably do something like that. But I feel like if you're on the beach and you're serving alcohol, it's probably going to be like, they're going to probably have a...
Dude, it's going to be a clusterfuck. It's Atlantic City too. Yeah. So people are going to be, yeah.
So that probably turns off a lot of people not wanting to go and deal with that thing. But like, it's history at the same time. You don't get shows like this very often, especially in Atlantic City. Mountain View, California at the Shoreline Amphitheater, they always get cool shows. All the cool festivals. And a cool thing about that place is too, because I've been there, is it's like an amphitheater, so they'll have a roof over it, like, and you have the lawn seats actually, and then
okay,
yeah, it's just like the BB&T Pavilion, the Tweeter Center as we once knew.
Okay. Well, the reason we're talking about Atlantic City a little bit more is because I live 45 minutes away from Atlantic City, maybe half hour, If I'm really hauling ass down the parkway.
Yep.
And you're in Philly, so that's like, what, an hour, hour and a half from... Yeah, about an hour. Yeah. Atlantic City. So it's way closer to us. But I do wish that Dance Gavin Dance was playing Atlantic City. I really, really wish they were.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're not. Like, I guess, aren't they on tour as well?
Yeah, I think they're on tour. They probably couldn't make it or something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, you're getting a lot of like mainstays too, like the Offspring is going to be playing Atlantic City, which is cool.
Yeah, they're I couldn't believe that they got them to play that.
Yeah, the Offspring, Bad Religion, 311, I'm driving Big D and the Kids Table, Real Big Fish, Sammy Ferris, Less Than Jake, which is going to be a good show. They're great.
Glassjaw, like, come on, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I know that's probably on your list. That was my guess. So, I mean, there's so many different eras and different types of music. I'm glad they're not... I was making a joke to my friend the other day. I was like, I'm glad it's just not the, like, the shitty, like, fake hardcore music that they've been doing Warped Tour for the last 5-6 years. I'm not a big fan of A Day to Remember. I like a couple of their songs, but, like, that's like bro metal to me.
Like, it's power metalcore. Basically.
It's weird. It's just it bothers
me.
I'm a fan
of their production, mm-hmm. because I'm a fan of the guy who produced them.
Okay.
That's why.
That's cool. I respect that. But I mean, congratulations to Warped. Like, this is a cool milestone, and this is how you go out with a bang, I guess. Since last year was the final year of the tour, now they get to do like a nice little send off the right way. Though the way that they sent off Warped last year when it was the last day of the last tour, it was Pennywise closed out the whole thing, which was awesome because that they were original staple too, and they played Brohim and it was so fucking cool. Yeah. I was watching it. They streamed it live and I was just like pumped up, man. It's such a cool thing, and I never got to go to a Warped tour. Like,
I think I went to Warped Tour once and I went to Bamboozle once. Mm. I'm not really a festival guy just because of the whole, I hate the heat. I hate heat, dude. I hate the heat.
Yeah. And then if I remember correctly, Bamboozle, the one I went to was in May. So it wasn't too bad. Saints and Sinner Festival was inside. It was inside the Asbury Park Convention Center, which was cool.
I'm down for indoor festivals. I'm down for that all day.
Like, this is hardcore. Like, they do that inside the Franklin Music Hall now. So
yeah, like any setup like that would be cool. It's just when you put a festival fucking in a giant stadium parking lot like Bamboozle, like me and my buddy Tim, like we had like red executioner hoods on. We were so fucking sunburnt, like, and had like that fucking tan line from your t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like up on the top, like the t-shirt line on your neck.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Just put it on grass or something. Like, you could just put it in like a... I get why they do it on the blacktop because it's like probably cheaper or whatever, but like, I don't know. I guess it's just easier for them, but when we get back, we will do our playlist to celebrate Warped Tour 25. It's going to be a fun one, and I'm excited to do it. So we'll be right back here on Songs for the Moment.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed the advertisements.
The tease.
Yeah, but we're back, and we're going to get right in to our Warped Tour playlist for their 25th anniversary. We pulled these right off of the two lineups. Did you want to go first, Glenn, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first this week.
Okay.
So the first song on the list, it's because, well, when I saw them on the list, I thought it was funny because I just listened to this song the other day while watching American Pie 2. I had this like American Pie marathon going because I haven't seen the first one in a bit, and I think I've seen American Pie 2 the most. I think I watched that over and over again when I was younger.
Yep.
It was definitely my favorite one. But I watched all of them all the way up to Reunion, and I forgot how funny Reunion was. I know that was gotten a lot of shit, but this is In Too Deep by Sum 41, which is a band that I really, really enjoyed when I was younger, and I still listen to them. I still think they're pretty fun. And it's cool that what's his face is sober now, and
yeah,
so he could play music more. But this is off All Killer No Filler, which is their, I think their debut big hit. Not their debut, but their album that put them on a spot, and this is on the album. And it's just a feel good song. It's at the end of America Pie 2 when they're having that like scene where they're all like looking at each other to kind of like, oh, we did it, everything's cool, you know, there at the end. And this is a feel good song for me. It gives me a lot of memories of good times, and I really would like to see Sum 41 one day. So I'm glad they're playing this show. And yeah, that's all
they
I really
have
to say about
it. My list. They were on my list.
Nice. They could still be on your list if you want.
No. I took them off because I realized that I'll actually go next then, in that case, if you were done.
Yeah, I was done.
Because, okay, so I had Sum 41 as the last band on my list because I couldn't. I was looking at everybody and I was like, oh, they're a fun band, but Atreyu, Lip Gloss, and Black.
They're on my list too.
Oh, really? You can do that one next. But
yeah,
Atreyu, Lip Gloss, and Black. I listened to this song a shitload in high school. I'm not even gonna lie.
It's just
a really, really staple song from the time that it came out when I was in high school. Everybody jammed this shit.
Oh hell yeah! Hell yeah! I think I discovered Atreyu from you. So. Because of that song. You and Zach both played that song all the time.
So sick. The intro part.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll go next real fast. This is off The Curse, and it's called Right Side of the Bed, Atreyu. This was actually the first Atreyu album I got. I got it for Christmas the senior year. I got a lot of CDs that year, and I got a Guns N' Roses hoodie. That's all I remember. And a cell phone. I got one of those brick Nokia phones.
Nice.
Yeah, man. but I love The Curse. I really like this album a lot, and it's like prime emo core, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
This
song
was the rolls.
One after Suicide Notes and Butterfly Kisses or something like that.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Which is what Lip Gloss and Black was on.
There's a lot of good songs on The Curse. Bleeding Mascara, Right Side of the Bed is the one I pick. The Crimson, which is the one I almost picked. I really like that song. The music video is cool. And I could have picked so many other ones. Like, what is it called? X's and O's. Songs like that. But, like, I don't know. The Curse really, like, was the album that I found in Atreyu to, like, be my favorite.
It had the most impact on you.
Yeah. And if you buy, like, the special edition, as you give Love a Bad Name cover that they did, was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Pretty bro-y. Definitely bro-y. So, yeah, Atreyu.
I'm going to go next. And this is a huge band for me. And this was an obvious choice, as we said earlier in the news section. Glassjaw. I chose Tip Your Bartender. This song fucking smacked me in the face the first time I heard it. I think this was the first Glassjaw song I heard. I didn't hear of them from the album previous to this that everybody had got into them from. I think it was called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Silence. That album that came before Worship and Tribute. But Worship and Tribute, I heard, and that fucking blew me away. That was the first song off of it. Still, nobody really sounds like Glassjaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just have this really unique, like, noisy, like, their guitar player has a very unique tone.
Mm-hmm.
He uses, like, a lot of modulation, like chorus and stuff like that in his guitar tone. But yeah, if you've never heard of Glassjaw, you should definitely check them out. Even their newer stuff is really fucking cool. They're just like a four-piece now. They don't have a second guitar player anymore, I don't believe. It's just Daryl and... I forget the guitar player's name, but... Little-known fact, that dude owns MerchDirect.com.
Really?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's like the MerchDirect.com owner.
That's good to know.
Yeah, he started that whole company, and tons of bands use that as like a distributor for their merch.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I was surprised because I knew you, I wasn't surprised that you picked Glassjaw. I, for some reason, thought you were going to go with Cosmopolitan Bloodlust, but hey, either or. Great songs. Great band.
Yeah, Tip Your Bartender is like my favorite Glassjaw song.
Yeah, for sure. I know that was a staple on the mix CDs used to make us, so. you were the first with the cable modem, so you were. Oh, yeah.
Dude,
you were
everybody
our guy.
Was telling me, like, yo, can you download me this? Can you download me this?
You were our guy, dude. It was great. Next up I have is one of high school's, like, I don't know, this was like a clutch band for me back then. CKY, Sink Into the Underground. Love this song. I love the tone of their guitars. I just always liked their sound a lot. And obviously everyone knows CKY from, you know, the CKY movies. But they really, like, just, I really like this band. Funny story about that song, 96 Koi Bitter Beings, which is actually the name of the band that Darren Miller, the original lead singer of CKY, the guy who started the band, that's the name of his band now. It's 96 Quit Peter Being, so, because he's not in CKY anymore, which is pretty funny. But that really? Song, yes, that song was the first ringtone I ever bought with my first cell phone. So it was my Nokia brick phone.
Was it monophonic or polyphonic? Yeah,
oh, dude, it was monophonic. It was gold. We actually did one of the last episodes of the G-Rod show I did before we took a hiatus. I like sang it, like, but as that tone, like, I even did the high pitched beeps, and just good. I was at a party. It was New Year's Day. It was a New Year's Eve party, but like New Year's Day, my phone rang, and the people I were with were all in college. Was my ex Ashley's friends, and they hear it. I don't know, Joe Santiago was there too, so he was in our grade. I haven't seen that kid in years. Yeah. The things are playing, they're like, is that CKY? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, that's really cool. And they were all like singing the song. It was funny. But
well, back then it wasn't common to have like a song as your ringtone, because the song had to be transformed to this monophonic beeping bullshit.
Yeah, it's so good. I miss that shit, man. But Singing to the Underground is really cool. That was actually the first, I think, CKY song I heard, because it was one of the first skits in CKY 2K where they were skateboarding. And what's his name? The lead actor from Kids. I'm trying to think of the guy's name now.
The guy who played Tully.
Yeah, he was in that scene where they're skating, and then like they did some kind of like stunt of like flying off of a van into snow or something, and he was, I think his name's Leo something.
I did not know he was in that.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen that part before because I watched the CKY video videos. Jeez, dude, I cannot talk today.
Videos.
Yeah, I'm inventing words and shit, but I watched them a million times.
Yeah, man, it's bad memories, man. Like anything I listen to, like if CKY comes on, I think it's just memories. And by the way, if you're a fan of the band CKY, they're going to be, obviously we're doing the list, they're going to be on the tour. Chad Ginsburg is the singer now, so that's pretty cool. And also, they're remastering all the CKY movies into HD. And
yes.
Wide. Original cuts, wide release. It's going to be fun.
I'm so pumped about that.
Even an HD transfer of Haggard and Ming Hags, the two movies that they did. So I'm pumped about all that.
Sweet, dude.
Yeah, man.
All right, so my next jam is Circus Survives, Semi-Constructive Criticism off of their album, I'm going to say On Letting Go, I believe. Yes, it was On Letting Go. I have the album art behind me on my wall. And that was the sound of my headphones smacking my microphone because I turned my head too far. but yeah, I love Circus Survive. I have since they released their first record. As I've talked about them a bunch of times on the show, like, you know, on our MySpace episode, I found them on MySpace. Over at my buddy's house one day. They're a really big influence on me. They're still putting stuff out. I believe they have a record coming out soon. That's good. I don't know if that's like official news, but they're like pretty due, and I'm pretty sure they've like teased stuff on social media before.
Nice.
But yeah, not really much more to say about them. I covered them before. I'm really happy to see that they're on the Warped Tour list, because I think they deserve it. They had like a solid few years of playing that, and they were really big shows for them as far as like it stepped them up from like, you know, the regional band to the national band level, I think, when they got put on Warped Tour.
Okay.
But so as far as Warped Tour this year, it's only a few shows. It's not like a full tour like it used to be. Like it used to be like a multi-city full U.S. tour.
Yes, now it's just the three dates, the Cleveland like little opener thing that they do, little tease, Atlantic City, and then Mountain View, California. So, which I feel like Ozfest should do that too. Like I know they Ozfest does like I think Ozfest is doing something in Japan this summer. So, a lot of these tours are like kind of condensing because the major festivals are taking over, like Coachella, Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza,
right,
things
yeah.
like that. The open air one in Chicago, all those tours, the Firefly Festival, Made in America. Mm-hmm. I can name them all, but
it's funny because European festivals are so much more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not separated by like, because all those festival names that you just named have like a specific genre you think about when you think about each of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Made in America is hip hop because it's Jay-Z's festival.
Right, but like over in Europe, you could have like a Norwegian death metal band
mm-hmm.
play, and then have like a K-pop band play.
Yeah. So like,
it's just different.
There is one festival that I never ever got to, but they were like it was like of legend when we were in high school, and that was Hellfest in New Jersey, like up in North Jersey or whatever. Now there's a Hellfest in France, and it's like 3 days of madness and. It's really cool, like they like to some of the like bands that play, but I hope we get like a really cool like Sonosphere type festival here that has like a little bit of everything. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome, but I don't really think so. American music consumption isn't that way, unfortunately.
And didn't Warp join in with the whole like festival on a cruise ship type thing like not too long ago? So I know that's a big thing now, like
a semi-fire festival exclusive kind of thing.
No, they were just a cruise, like, because I know a lot of cruisers are doing it. Like Flock of Molly has a cruise this fall, and it's them, I think Dropkick's on the show, Frank Turner's playing. It's like a lot of good bands that are gonna be on this cruise ship playing. It's like you take a cruise, but like there's bands playing on the ship. Chris Jericho does it. So like last time he did it was the Rock and Rager. So it was like wrestling, heavy metal, and comedy, which is pretty sweet. So I think Warp did it once, but I don't know. And I know the guy who created Warp they like put together that Mayhem Festival, and that didn't last very long. I think that was like a good 5 to 10 years, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it didn't really last long. And I feel like, like I said, the major ones are taking kind of a stronghold. So, but moving on, my next song is May 16 by Lagwagon. I picked this song by them only because I was thinking about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater the other day. I think it was on the first game. But they are also a punk staple, and they are also a Warped Tour staple, so I'm happy that they're playing. They've been around forever. This song's awesome.
Yeah, they have, dude. I haven't heard their name in eons.
Yeah, and I specifically only picked them because like I could have picked the Offspring, but like, we just had the Offspring on the list last week or 2 weeks ago. I could have picked the Menzingers, and I really wanted to because like I've been listening to the song The Freaks, but I think I had that on a list couple weeks ago, so I didn't pick them. So I wanted to do a little something a little different. So Lagwagon, May 16, good song, catchy song, and if you haven't played Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1, go try to find it because it's fun.
Oh man, if you haven't played Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1, you didn't have a childhood.
Exactly. You've been living under a rock.
Yeah, exactly. but my next band would be Dance Gavin Dance, The Robot with Human Hair Part 4. It is off the album Acceptance Speech, and it is the first album with Tillian on it as a replacement for Johnny Craig. I honestly prefer Tillian's voice to Johnny's. Not that Johnny Craig's voice is bad. I just think that Tillian's voice matches the band better.
I can agree to that.
And I, this record's fantastic. Really, it is. They bounce off each other really, really well, both singers. The instrumentals are really, really good. Also, there was that whole thing with Johnny Craig. You probably heard about it.
What happened?
Had a little bit of the laptops.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, fuck Johnny Craig about that whole thing. He's in that new band Slaves. They were on Nail the Mix. I didn't download the tracks because I didn't have time to do them. Gotcha. But yeah. Not really much to say about Dance Gavin Dance. I think I've had them on the list before. But I did want to give them credit for being on the tour because I feel like they deserve it. But I'm very disappointed they're not playing Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Very, very disappointed. Because I would probably go... I have more of a probability of asking off work and all that stuff to go if I was going to see Dance Gavin Dance and Glassjaw.
Okay.
I mean, going to see Glassjaw would be cool, but I don't want to go all day because they're probably not playing early. Glassjaw is not playing early. I doubt it.
I think Dance Gavin Dance was just in town, like, yesterday.
Really?
I know they're in New York tonight. I'm looking at their tour dates. Then they play Australia twice, and then Honolulu twice. Then they come back to America, and they play Pittsburgh on April 23rd. See, I think they were just here.
Damn. Oh, speaking of Dance Gavin Dance, they used to have a guitar player that toured with them for quite a few years. If you ever saw them live and saw a dude that was playing like a white Telecaster, that who isn't Will Swan, then it was this dude. He's in a band called A Cursive Lie. I found them on Instagram like randomly, and I was like, that guy looks so familiar, so I like Wikipedia'd him, you know. And he's apparently toured with a bunch of bands. He's like kind of one of, like one of those guitar players for hire.
Okay,
but he started a band and they're pretty cool. You should check them out. They're called A Cursive Lie.
I like it.
Yeah. But that's Dance Gavin Dance's Robot with Human Hair Part 4.
So they played in December. I lied. They're still in Australia right now. But yeah, they were just here in December. December 9th, to be exact. And they played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 songs. So there you go. They played at the Franklin Music Hall, the former Electric Factory. I saved the best for last on my list only because it's a really fun live song because of the way that they do it and everything they add to it. That, and of course, I'm talking about Real Big Fish's SR. If you don't know Real Big Fish, legendary ska band, they do this song called SR, which is Suburban Rhythm, which is another ska band they talk about. And they play the regular song, and then they're like, well, what if this sound sounded like a death metal song? So they would play the same exact song, same lyrics, but death metal style, country style, pop style, rap style, emo style. And then, like, they do it a whole bunch of different ways, and that's, like, their shtick with the song live. So this is a 9-minute, almost 10-minute live track that you're going to get on this playlist, which is really fun to listen to. If you are a Real Big Fish, you probably hate it because it's the most, like, I wouldn't say it's the most popular song because their most popular song, I feel like, is Beer. For example, but this is like, if you go to a concert to see Real Big Fish, you really hope to play this because it's always fun. It's funny. And then when I first discovered Real Big Fish, I saw them on the Man on Comcast. They had all the music videos on there, like the music choice. And SR was one of the music videos, and I just sat there and watched it. I remember exactly where they played it too, because they had the House of Blues logo behind it in Anaheim, and I just laughed the whole time because I thought it was hilarious. And I love ska. Ska's a big part of Warped, and I could have picked, you know, say Ferris, Kid Big D, and the Kids Table, but I went with Real Big Fish. So I'm more inclined to put them on there. Because if I would have picked Save Ferris, I would have picked Come On Eileen. We just had that on the list, like, what, last week?
Yeah.
Like, well, yep. So, one hit wonders. So, so yeah.
My last jam is a heavy hitter for Warped Tour and in general. It's Taking Back Sunday, My Blue Heaven.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. I tried to choose not a giant hit off the record, even though pretty much every song off of Louder Now is a huge hit, or at least could have been. Yeah, this record's awesome. I still jam out to it at least once a week in my car. Taking Back Sunday is a huge Warped Tour band. They were on it quite a few times. And yeah, not really much to say about them. Everybody's heard about them, you know.
One of the bands that shaped me as a teenager, for sure. Victor.
It's funny because I heard Louder Now before Tell All Your Friends.
Okay. That's fair. I like Louder Now is the one with Make Damn Sure, right?
Yeah, yeah. And What's It Feel Like to Be a Ghost and all that stuff.
Okay. I think my favorite Taking Back Sunday one is the one with... what's that one song? With A Decade Under an Influence. I really like that. Cassette Phase Was a Stud is one of my favorite. I think it might be my favorite Taking Back Sunday song. It's like the first song on the album, and it just gets right into it. But man, by this time next week when we're recording, I moved away from Philly. I'm going to be in Chicago. I want to come back for this show just to see Taking Back Sunday. I've only seen them once, and
I've never seen them before.
But I want to see them now, their full power again, because Bamboozle was such a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Again, to debate against festivals. I don't like the idea of waiting all day to see a band I love for 20, 30 minutes. I would rather go and see them play for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours at a headlining show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, yeah, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer to see them. But if you really like the band and you've never seen them before, it's probably better to see them play a whole show.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
because the only time I ever saw the Deer Hunter, I saw them play at Bamboozle for 20 minutes, and then it was such a fucking tease.
I think Taking Back Sunday is on tour right now too, because they're doing their 25th or their 20th anniversary tour, or no, they already did, I think, here, and then they're going to Latin America, where I think they're playing all their it's a greatest hits tour. Because they put out the Greatest Hits album not too long ago, so that's cool though. Anything else you want to talk about Warped before we say a goodbye?
No, honestly, I don't. I think that having an Atlantic City is a really good idea because all those people are gonna stay at the casinos.
Yep, man,
for sure.
And it's already and it's already summertime at the shore, so it's gonna be packed.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be beginning of summer, really into it, the end of June. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fucking crazy crowded.
And the last couple of years, the concerts on the beach have been, pop or country music. So it's, this is really cool, a different, change.
Mix it up.
Yeah, because I remember one of the first big concerts they had on the beach was the Orion Festival, the Metallica Festival. And I wanted to go because I'd never seen Metallica. And then, Ghost was playing there, too, back when... Opus came out, so they were still Papa One, and they were wearing white, the ghouls were wearing black at that point, but they all had white white hoods and white masks and everything, and I really wanted to see it because it was a unique look that they never play in, and
okay,
I still need to see Ghost. I could do a whole episode on that band. Fuck. But that is it for us this week. If you are going to Warp 25, awesome. I hope you enjoy the show. If not, well, more power to you anyway. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, all social media at Songs Podcast. If you want to show us your ultimate support, go to patreon.com/songspodcast. We're going to be uploading some awesome things, exclusive things like ad-free shows and bonus show and all those good stuff that are merch discounts too. And speaking of merch, you can go to merch.songspodcast.com, buy yourself a t-shirt. Also, starting next week, not next week, it's 2 weeks. I'm an idiot because it's 2 weeks. Next week is not March 18th. It's only March. It is. Next week is. Am I being weird? Is next week March 18th?
Let me open up my calendar, actually, because we do have to set that.
Actually, no, it's not. Next week is March 10th. So when we record,
It's March 10th.
So not next week. Yep. The following week is March 17th or March 18th is when we first start our March Madness Championship, which is going to be awesome. The 80s, 32 songs. We're going to be debating. It's going to be good. I can't wait.
And we're going to announce the bracket too.
Yeah, very soon. Out on the lookout on social. I lost track of time, man. Like, I really thought next week was the 18th. I was already at the party for my birthday and everything. Other than that, you can find me on Instagram at RealGRod. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I rarely tweet anymore, at RealGRod. Where can they find you, Sean?
You can find me at Sean Songs Podcast on Instagram, Sean Songs Cast at Twitter. If honestly, please leave us a review or share the show with a friend. If you like the show, it would really help us out. For me and G-Rod, thank you for listening and have a good week. We're out.